I work in our internal medicine division, where I brought HIV and hepatitis C treatment into our primary care clinics and community-based clinics in the Bronx. And I also work with a lot of people who use drugs and do opioid use disorder treatment. One of the most important things I think we do is we opened a small Montefiore clinic and a syringe exchange program in Harlem that outreaches throughout the Bronx, where we also provide medical treatment to people who inject drugs.
Did that work get put on pause because of the pandemic? Or could you just talk about what happened?
As you might have remembered, it was like totally chaotic. No one had any idea what was going on. New York got hit first. So I think we had the first case in the beginning of March. By March 20th, New York City was put on pause. And we were told that we were not allowed to leave. We were not allowed to be more than 50 miles away from the hospital. The crazy thing is that when this first occurred, the CDC specifically said they did not believe that masks worked. So we were still working both in the syringe exchange clinic and my community-based clinic in the very early weeks, being told that we weren't allowed to wear masks. So we knew that people were getting COVID. We knew that we were obviously going to potentially be exposed, and people were told by our medical directors, you can't wear a mask because the CDC says masks don't work. I mean, there were multiple people who rebelled against that, particularly, to be honest, we nurses who felt, I think, protected by their unions, that they were not going to come into work every day not be allowed to wear a surgical mask. I, running the syringe exchange clinic, was looking sort of to the Montefiore Medical Administration for guidance. And I'm telling the three volunteer clinicians who all, by the way, have newly born babies, so like anywhere between, you know, 2 months and a year, that the rules are you can't wear a mask. At least in our community-based clinics, we started to have some protocols like asking people COVID-related questions. Are you coughing? Do you have a fever? Taking temperatures. But you can imagine in a syringe exchange clinic, like, it's not that organized. Like, people are coming in, they're using drugs, they're on drugs. Everyone's coughing because everyone has chronic conditions and tobacco use disorder, and we don't have proper ventilation, and we're basically delivering medical care out of a closet. And so in the beginning, I'm sitting around saying, I don't think we can wear masks. So I had to override that and say, look, in this clinic, we're not going with what the administration says. We can wear masks. So everyone started wearing masks. Now, the problem was I felt really it was sort of unfair if only the clinicians who had access to a mask from Montefiore would wear a mask. And then what about all the syringe exchange employees, the people giving out syringes, the people running the drop-in center? So I had to work with their administration to see if we could, you know, scrounge around and get masks, because it just didn't feel appropriate that there would be some sort of strange delineation between who was protected and who was not protected. So we were able, like literally through like asking like friends of friends of friends and driving around to like various houses to scrounge up enough, you know, and these were surgical masks, not even N95s, surgical masks to like protect people, say, for the first 10 days. And then it became very clear that we were not going to be able to do this safely. Like, you couldn't have 20 people, multiple homeless people, very, you know, not. The syringe exchange community is in a tight community. Like, they like hugging each other, sharing coffee, sharing cigarettes. You know, like, the idea of social distancing and wearing masks and not being, like, able to touch, like, was sort of the antithesis of this, like, grassroots, radical, community-based organization. And so we had to shut down. And we did that as sort of a community-based clinic. Montefiore started shutting down their clinics. They shut down their clinics really because there were not enough doctors to work in the hospitals and also work in the outpatient clinics. But as they started shutting down their clinics, we unfortunately had to shut down our whole syringe exchange. First it was just a clinic, and then it was the whole syringe exchange, you know, entirely. All services were shut down because there was just no way we are going to be able to deliver care safely to either the participants, the patients, or the staff working there. Like, there was just nothing we could do to make it safe. So then when that shut down, people were basically assigned to go into the hospitals. I was not on the first week of assignment. We started to do telehealth in the clinic. I mean, the irony of all this was that we're doing telehealth in the clinic. We have no idea what's going on. We're finally wearing masks, but like, you know, your medical director is trying to make everyone feel better, like giving communal lasagna out, and, you know, and we're just like freaking out saying like, let us just, like, first of all, we're taking the subways. Some people are like scrounging to get a rental car because taking the subway, you know, everyone's at home and we're like on the subway every day and then we're supposed to, you know, maybe be in the hospital. And the craziest thing is that people were in the hospital working. Then they would come back to the clinic the next week to do telehealth where we are all together. They were getting COVID and we had no protections. There was no idea that like maybe after you worked in a COVID ward for a week, you should then take a week off so that the rest of our entire clinic didn't get sick. So there was just no protocols, no quarantining, just nothing. And so my colleagues were getting sick and then they were coming back to the clinic to do telehealth. Why were they doing that? Because the hospital was afraid to lose money. So it's like, while people are getting COVID and coming back to a clinic, we're all sitting in our offices praying that we don't get exposed. And one of the biggest reasons I didn't want to get exposed is because I didn't want to get sick before they needed me in the hospital. We decided to have weekly meetings, like Zoom meetings, you know, which are obviously normal now, but not at that time, because things were happening so quickly that the division felt like every week we wanted to get together so that whoever was in the hospital could then, like, you know, discuss, give advice, give protocols to the people who are coming in. And, you know, that first Zoom meeting we had, I mean, probably the most toughest, strongest mentors of my life, like people who are amazing clinicians, amazing researchers, radical doctors, people, you know, pushing agendas, like really great, like, you know, anti-drug criminalization agendas, just really smart, tough people, were hysterically crying because they were in a hospital. There was no protocols to get PPE. So there were no PPE. So people were literally running on different floors, like animals, trying to open up closets to see if there were N95s. And it became so chaotic, which within 3 days, then all the PPE was given to the administrative clerk. So as a physician or a nurse, you had to ask permission from the clerk to get your to get some PPE, if there was. If it wasn't, then maybe you could go to floor five and see if they had any left over. We literally, people were washing their gowns with like Clorox wipes in between patients because there just wasn't enough gowns. So everyone was just wearing a gown, washing their gowns with Clorox wipes, praying that they had an N95. An N95, the whole reason it theoretically works is that it fits you. So like when you first become a physician or a nurse or any hospital worker, you get fitted for your N95. If you need a small, or it doesn't work. I mean, you were lucky if you got one, never mind if it fit you, you know? And so a lot of people got really, you know, got COVID those first couple weeks. And, they got sick. Everyone was worried about the nurses and physicians. But what about the people who are, like, in custodial? You know, how were they getting PPE? They weren't necessarily either. So we had a 29-year-old, you know, environmental service worker die in the first couple weeks. We had a 40-year-old clerk who worked at our clinic died. You know, that wasn't necessarily a result of poor PPE, but, you know, your colleagues were getting sick and dying. And by the time I got in there, we had no gowns, so they just stopped doing gowns. So by the time I got in there, it was a little more organized. So what happened is you walked in, they had scrubs for you. You took scrubs, and you got one paper bag, and in that paper bag was an N95. You know, you could not necessarily designate what size you needed, but there was an N95, and they had our administrative staff, like, you know, like people who worked like outside of the hospital, like just like as administrative staff for the research department or administrative staff or whatever, they were making surgical shields. So everyone was deployed. Like they weren't just like, and like they used to be clerical workers, and then there was a section to make plastic shields. Some clerical workers were put into a whole nother section that was to make these huge drapes. So they were sewing, literally sewing, okay? They went from being like skilled administrative staff to sewing to make these drapes so that when you intubated people, because that's like really a really dangerous procedure, because when you intubate somebody, obviously there's so much respiratory droplets in the air. So if you can put a drape over that yourself, it protects more. So we had administrative people making drapes. I mean, then the scary thing is that you can imagine a lot of our administrative staff were people of color. More of the physicians were white. You go into an entire area, everyone's of color and like sewing like they're in a factory. So then when I got to go in, you got one bag. It had an N95 and an eye shield and then you got your scrubs. And then you used that all day. So it didn't matter. You didn't get a gown. You just put your N95 eye shield, and when you were done, you put your N95 back in your brown bag and you wiped your eye shield off with Clorox and put it in. And then you, like, we had clotheslines, and we hung up on clotheslines, you know, our bags with your name on it. And then every time you went back to see a patient, you went back to your you know, PPE for the day. But at that point, the fact that it was even organized, the fact that we even had one PPE for the day, was such a dramatic improvement from the couple weeks before, where people were like beating each other up in closets trying to, you know, get protection.